Welcome to Sacred Guidance with Stella Muse. Merging sacred sexuality, spirituality, and soul with truth, love, wisdom, and beauty. I'm your host, Elise Cole. Are you ready to come journey with me? Hi, stunning souls, and welcome to Sacred Guidance with Stella Muse. I'm your host, Elise Carr, and it's a joy to be here with you wherever you are in the world joining me. I want to share with you today something that's been really on my mind, actually. I keep thinking about lotuses and mud and adversity, but no matter what's going on, flourishing through that and coming out the other end of whatever it is that we're going through right now, individually, in our relationships, in our family or home, how we're connecting through work with colleagues, and ideally how we're connecting through whatever challenges that present themselves as a united human family. So I want to talk to you today about flourishing through adversity. No mud, no lotus, as you might have come across before, is another way of putting it. If today this speaks to you, don't forget I am here to guide you personally along your path, because no matter how deep I get to dive during a podcast episode, it's never going to be personally tailored to you and your unique situation, your personal challenges or crisis or change that you're evolving through and navigating your way through right now. So if you are seeking more spiritual and psychological guidance, a blending of Eastern wisdom from the tantric to the Buddhist to the yogic to, yes, of course, what I'm going to share with you today, combining that with modern Western psychological science, then I am here for you, my friend, and you're welcome to reach out to me at elise@stellamuse.com. Now, the symbolism of the lotus. For centuries in the East, the lotus has been a revered symbol of humanity's spiritual consciousness. The roots in the muddy earth symbolizing the physical nature, the stem rising through water symbolizing the astral emotional nature, and then bursting above the water into the air symbolizing the mental nature or the mental plane. And this is where the final stage of growth, the blossoming bloom, opens to the sun's rays, symbolizing the higher self or soul, as it radiates its perfume, and the perfume symbolizing the selfless giving of service of the disciple or pathwalker in the three worlds. And those three worlds, as we already touched on, being the physical, emotional, astral, and mental. You are the lotus. Wherever your focus along the way at any given point, your higher self is striving to radiate your perfume and turn your head, heart, and soul unified toward the sun to shine forth no matter what adversity you may have withstood or are currently experiencing at this seemingly unprecedented time. But perhaps you're wondering, how do you get to living from this place where you radiate as the lotus you are here to be when you're feeling stuck in the mud of adversity? Be that challenge, change, or crisis. If you pay attention, you can sense, hear, learn, and know that the mud serves and nourishes. It can help awaken, teach you compassion, and turn knowledge into lived experience and thus into wisdom. So, let's look at some ways you can flourish through adversity by embracing the opportune mud along the way. And I want to start with first understanding the relationship of the lotus and the mud. Because here's the key, my friend, the lotus needs the mud. Have you ever wondered why it has to be so darn hard? Why life has to be so hard? Love, work, making money, feeling happy or joyful? Being successful, being able to meditate. What about just getting through the day? Untangling Christmas tree lights,
saying no, or yes for that matter? How about finding a parking spot? What about being in a loving relationship with yourself or a beloved? I've wondered this along the way too. Eventually, we learn without the darkness, there is no light. Without winter, there's no summer. Without Shakti, there is no Shiva, no feminine without masculine. So there simply can be no lotus without the mud. The little and grand challenges, the changes and growing pains that we go through over seasons and years, the crises we experience, be them internally and silently in our own deep feeling and thinking, in our relationship with others, we keep striving to compassionately and kindly love, and just as much as collectively, as a humanity in this overly selfish modern world we find ourselves living life in. To resist the mud is to resist life, progress, growth, evolution, and yes, inevitable death before rebirth and renewal. A renewed life can bloom. It is the mud which provides the opportunity for all of this. The mud, the crisis you feel you are in, the struggle you are fighting with, the challenge you are wrestling, and the change that you're forced to face are stimulation for your transformation. A transformation that can lead you to transcend them entirely. Transcend a life influenced by mud. Instead, transform into the lotus, having developed the qualities required to do so only because you made your way through the mud. And one way we can look at helping ourselves with this is exploring adaptation. When we adapt to the changing situations in life, we move closer to flourishing through adversity. It is through adversity that we reach a point of at-one-ment or unity. But how can we begin to adapt? It always sounds like a funny word for change, when quite frankly, we may not want to change, as that means effort, work, and unknown territory that isn't as comfy as these warm, muddy waters. But what if we have a perspective shift for a moment, if you're with me? I want to ask you, have you ever tried being neutral to a situation? Switzerland, let's say. What is esoterically called indifference? When your attitude is a neutral one towards everything that is not your higher self, everything that is not the lotus, let's say. Neutral to not finding a car bay. Neutral to spilling dinner on the floor and having to clean it up. Neutral to a disgruntled client, companion, or family member. Neutral to scrubbing the toilet, preparing for a Lumi exam, or tomorrow's unknown. Anything that challenges you, that makes you want to react or say something you regret, or throw a plate, or slam a door, or run away, or wall up, worry, or stress, criticize, or judge, even if it's in your own mind. What if instead you were indifferent? Neither one extreme or another. This is an art that can take some time to fully get. But you can look at it like an experiment, something to play with, explore and try. There's nothing to lose but the not self, as we call it, or losing the mud. We do indeed adapt by changing. Like a chameleon changing its colour to match the surface it is resting upon, so not to be spotted and eaten by a predator. You too can change from being overcome and covered in mud to the point of not being recognised or even not recognising yourself. Perhaps when you get out of control, be that physically or emotionally or mentally, to instead letting the rain and sun clean and purify you as you rise and become the lotus. You may want to add adaptation technique of playing neutral or experimenting with indifference sometime today and see what happens. Add it into your day and just see what happens. What do you notice? If you are willing to repeat it and notice what happens when you start to practice it more frequently, you might see a little shift taking place. I'll leave that one with you to explore. And now I want to share with you cycles, and the cycle specifically of crisis, tension, and breakthrough. Now, I've spoken about this concept of cycles and this specific cycle before in everyday life, in relationships, and obviously it's more relevant than ever now in this current climate. The life cycle that we all experience, no matter how advanced or evolved we might be right now, is broken down to these three stages or phases. There is a crisis, literal, internal, external. It will likely affect you physically, emotionally, mentally, or all of the above. And as a result, it will create tension in these parts of you, in your inner and likely thus your outer world. Think of like stretching an elastic band and holding it there for as long as you can, that tension that you're creating within yourself or the experience that you're having. The crisis may be what drops you deep into the mud. The tension is finding your way through it. And the breakthrough is rising out of the mud as the lotus towards that sunshine of the new day. It has been said that this tension you will experience while trying to find your way out of the adversity, suffering, or mud brings a constructive energy, making you capable of not only serving yourself, but carrying that energy, we could even call it radioactivity, into the world. This energy, this radioactivity, is love. Tension is also called the law of existence, the ever-acting driving force moving us closer to progress and evolution. I've shared with you a couple of little esoteric hints here. You might want to go back 20 seconds and re-listen to it and see if you grasp the concept, the laws, and the symbolism. Now, the mud is part of the cycle. If we want to evolve, if we want to grow, to love deeper, to become wiser, to know life beyond the material stuff that never brings lasting happiness, we would be wiser to embrace the mud and what it offers. Well, I know, easier said than done, right? It can at least help us exhale, just to know that after tension, there is breakthrough. It is inevitable, my friend, that you can and will get through what you are going through right now. Whatever it is you're going through right now, it's not going to stay like this forever. In some way, somehow, you will transcend. In this life, or perhaps the next, if you aren't willing to move through the growing pains just yet. But I have a feeling if you're listening to this, you are ready. And now, detachment and being the witness. Detachment is a quality of soul, one that takes time and effort to effectively create and live from that place. It's easy to say you can detach from having out of control emotions or projecting or carrying feelings about something that happened a long time ago because, yeah, you sorted that out. But it's another to have truly learned how to detach and then live that way day by day, moment by moment, with all that has been, is, and will be. It is this art of detaching that requires you to take on the role of witness, or what we esoterically call the observer. Observation is the key to transforming from focusing your energy and attention on the mud, just eyes down, in it, all you can see is mud. That, why me? Why this? Why now? This is impossible. It's hard. It's painful. It's unfair, horrible, ugly, sad, stressful. And everything else you've likely said at some point to yourself or another. And instead, focus on learning, watching, understanding what is going on and why? In an argument with a loved one, in a moment of anger or fear, hurt, worry, how you could have handled something differently, or how you can handle it differently now. As with practice and time, you will eventually be able to do this in the moment, or even before the muddy moment has taken you over. When you can witness from a detached place of observation, you can be present and poised, not emotionally swept up or letting thoughts take over. Your actions also won't be reactions or defensive. You can instead find deeper meaning, a fresh perspective, clarity, something we would call closer to love with a big L. For here in this space, you can remain calm, making wiser, more conscious choices, which is something that I'm really passionate about guiding my clients to do when we do this kind of work. Because wiser, more conscious choices can impact our entire experience of life, our relationship with ourselves, but with our beloved, our children, our colleagues, everyone we connect with. So for example, one of the things that can help us make wiser, more conscious choices is whether we are asking ourselves, should I speak right now or should I listen? Should I respond right now or do I just remain? You are able to rise beyond the mud of default reactions, judgments, manipulations, criticisms and mood swings, walling up and cutting off, to rising above what we call the lower personality nature. That combination of behaviors, emotions, and the chitter-chatter thoughts. To a higher place, to a place of heart and mind united. A place of love wisdom, closer to your truth, your real lotus beauty, your highest self or soul. You begin to adopt the qualities of love, of the soul, which are poise, centeredness. And when I say centeredness, being in your true center is what I'm talking about here, aligned and in harmony with all you are. And you also adopt the quality of harmlessness, not creating harm for yourself or any other in thoughts, words, feelings, or actions. From here, it is easier to no longer identify with the adversity of the bud and all its pain and suffering it could cause you, and instead identifying and feeling closer to the beauty of the lotus and its outward expression of love that you can then share with others. It's here at this point you begin to take responsibility in adversity, which means you're leaning in closer towards flourishing as that lotus you're here to be. Now, taking responsibility of your thoughts, words, emotions, and actions circles right back to harmlessness. Now, I have spoken about this before as well on an entire episode, so you might want to tune into that if you want a little bit more depth to the concept of harmlessness. It's a beautiful episode, and I suggest if you haven't listened to it, check it out. Maybe if you've already listened to it, might be one to revisit anyway, hey? So responsibility also comes when you acknowledge you are a lotus in a pond of many, a flame in a fire. That your well-being is likewise the well-being of others, and all that makes up the greater life is your responsibility too. How you treat this earth and Mother Nature, from the soil and waterways to the air and the entire plant and animal kingdoms, a conscious use of resources and creating what will add to and vivify, not destruct and take from. A love and respect that is shown to all. Are you taking responsibility for your role as a fellow lotus, as a flame within the fire of life? as a collective, moving through the mud, we must together transcend our unsustainable and separative, selfish lifestyle, finding a new equilibrium, something this time of introspection and isolation could help us reach if we dedicate ourselves creatively, collectively as a team, to redesign our methods and ways, shifting our consciousness into new activity of selfless humanitarian values. Values and practices of love for ourselves, yes, for each other and for all, especially. So I ask you perhaps to muse on in your own time these questions that I want to share with you now. If you've got a journal handy, you're welcome to write them down and pause and go through them. Or if you're driving or not able to do it right now, then perhaps come back to this. A little bit of joy work, let's call it. I want to ask you, for you to ask yourself, what does responsibility look like to me? What does responsibility look like to me? For you, you might think of this individually, maybe taking responsibility in your relationship, taking responsibility in your place of work, taking responsibility as a citizen of this earth. And then, do I take responsibility for my actions? Ask yourself that. Do I take responsibility for my actions? How about for my feelings and my emotions? And what about, do I take responsibility for my thoughts? And then of these three, and the impact these each have on you and others, the collective consciousness and the world, ask yourself about that. What impact does my responsibility of my actions, my feelings, my thoughts have on myself, my relationship with myself, my experience of life? What's the impact of this on others? My beloved, family, friends, colleagues, community. And what about the impact of my responsibility on the collective consciousness and the world? I just want to touch on meditation now. In Tantra, we embrace even the adversity, using it as the metal to alchemize into gold. Like a low nature sex drive alchemized into an intimate union with a beloved, or a crisis alchemized into a breakthrough. And we can do this through visualization, through perhaps starting with obviously our attention on the mud, on the challenge, on the adversity, whatever it is, but then shifting that to visualizing it becoming something else, letting new light come in, letting different ways of seeing something emerge, seeing how we can transform, transmit, alchemize an obstacle into an ally. If you do not have a meditation practice, may I suggest exploring some forms of meditation until you find something that benefits you and your personal stage of development. There is, of course, all different methods from relaxation and calming meditations, guided meditations or mindful practices, right up to concentration and single-pointed focus to manifest the world plan into reality if we take an esoteric perspective. If you are seeking more, you may like to practice some of the foundational techniques I offer and guide you through in the Raja Yoga episode. I also have a video on YouTube about this that you can find on my channel under Stella Muse if you want the visual to go with it. Now, meditation helps us shift our perspective to a higher, clearer, sharper perception of reality, where we can begin to transcend a muddy moment with the pause, stillness, and cultivation of inner poise simply by being in a meditative mind. Something I'll leave you to muse on if it calls to you. And now, We come to service, helping one another, sharing the perfume of your lotus, the light of your inner flame. Albert Schweitzer said that at times our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us. I'm sure at some point, somewhere along your unique path, there have been people who have lit that spark for you when you felt as if it's gone out. And I'm sure you've done the same for others. We are here to help one another after all. We can also see this as reaching out an arm, reaching our arm up, let's say specifically, to be pulled out of the mud, while simultaneously extending our other arm down to lift another out of the deeper, muddy depths. In times of our own adversity, there is opportunity to turn our attention away from focusing yet again on the mud we sit in and instead open to serving another, perhaps who's beside us in the mud. Maybe they're even deeper in the mud than we are. At times, helping another not only helps them, but also helps us, helps you regain a sense of purpose or a feeling of what it is to be kind, of joy in simply being able to make a difference in someone's day or life. In your times of adversity, have you ever found yourself called to help another? And if so, did you do it? And what happened if you did? Or what happened if you didn't? What will you do when this opportunity presents itself next time? Now, I just want to share that this is by no means a way to bypass transforming and rising from the mud yourself and working through whatever adversity, challenge, or crisis or change that you must also navigate. But upon a conscious path, a spiritual path, an esoteric, a yogic, a Buddhist, how about just a humane path, we might say, there is a time when we must put ourselves to the side, if only for a moment, a day, a week, or a period of time, to help another. Knowing when that service is done, we will indeed go back to doing our inner work, our personal work, to navigate what we must to fully evolve and transcend, to heal or help or support ourselves. What I've been sharing with you here is all in the pursuit of moving closer to your truth. A little bit of potent wisdom I'd love to share with you in regards to this is overcoming yourself is the greatest battle you'll ever wage. That's right. Overcoming yourself is the greatest battle you will ever wage. When you realize it has been you who has stagnated, stopped, or slowed your progress, though be it difficult to admit, hell yes, but when you do, and can move past it, along with the fear of the unknown, releasing the blame of 1,000 unfulfilled dreams and the inaction of 10,000 past lives, you come to truly know yourself with a truth that is like pushing through the mud to sit atop in full lotus bloom, radiant, open to the sun in receptivity as much as to radiating and perfuming those all around you. Now I get that's a lot to take in full blown stark reality. It's a heck of a lot actually. To know that it is ourselves that we must overcome? Oh gosh, how much are we asking ourselves? Some of us might be questioning right about now. Yeah, it is that. It's all our habits, our default patterns, our little and big addictions or behaviours that really don't serve, but somehow we keep repeating and repeating and repeating them. How about mood swings and erratic emotions or judgments, manipulations, the chit-chat overthinking or the non-stop ruminating minds at, I don't know, 2 a.m. or could be 4 p.m, and all that jazz. Knowing it is all of that, that does hold us back, stop us progressing, keeps us flopping around in the mud, getting nowhere of substance, nowhere of truth, wisdom, love, or beauty. So I ask you, my friend, how are you holding yourself back right now? In this very moment, whatever it is that you're going through, how are you holding yourself back? What is one reaction, habit, or action, behavior, if you will, that you keep repeating in times of challenge, change, or crisis that doesn't serve you? Can you find one? And what about a feeling? What's one feeling you keep repeating in times of challenge, change, or crisis which doesn't serve you? And then what is one thought or stream of thought that you keep repeating in times of challenge, change, or crisis which doesn't serve you? And what can you do today to change one of these, perhaps? Just taking one, be that habits or reactions or behaviors, be that starting with your feelings and emotions, or be that starting with your mind and your thoughts. Can you find what you need within you at this point to work on one or all of these? Or do you need to seek guidance with a trusted professional to help you? When you let go of all the should or shouldn'ts, the have-tos and the ways you perceive yourself or the way others do, or especially how you want others to perceive you, and all the conscious and unconscious ways these false means of seeing and experiencing the world, glamours as we call them esoterically, all weigh you down and keep you separated from your lotus nature, you can then lighten the burden. You can minimize your suffering. You can rise above the muddy depths and start to flourish one petal at a time. Like a deconstruction of an old system with a reconstruction of a new, or an unlearning before a relearning. You are letting go of an old, outdated, muddy self, the lower nature you have associated yourself with, even believed you were, but indeed, it's not who or what you are. And are now better able to associate, align, and embody your true lotus nature, the light and love that is you. Calm, poised, harmonized, and centered. Active and lovingly assisting others around you as you also continue your inner work. Daily observing, meditating, and serving others all combine to strengthen your higher connection to the lotus within and loosen the grip the mud has on you. I ask you now, are you open to creating a daily practice of observation or witnessing yourself? How about open to a brief 5-minute meditation to start your day where you focus on transforming or alchemizing that adversity, challenge, crisis, or change into calm, poise, love, responding, not reacting, to the luminous and radiant lotus in your heart and mind? Perhaps visualizing that, feeling it, sensing it. And are you open to creating service in your life, to serving others, however that looks for you, be that your beloved child or children, colleagues, a family member or dear friend, someone you've just met, radiating the perfume of your lotus and the light it shines, especially even if you feel close to the mud, when you know you can be of help to them in that moment. If you begin this work and find joy in taking the time to explore it, expand and deepen it, commit to it even, you will, without doubt, know yourself more and more. It is in knowing yourself you will know all others. In knowing all others, you can eventually know all. Having known the mud, you will know the lotus. And knowing the lotus, you will know the one life. You will know unity. And thus you will come to know, to experience, to live and share in the eternal nature of true love. I don't know about you, but true love sounds like an amazing exchange for perhaps a bit of work along the way. I'd like to think that today this concept of flourishing through adversity has planted some little lotus seeds in your fertile, muddy waters. And maybe it's inspired you to look at things a little bit differently. For it is when we shift our perception that our reality shifts. It's amazing if we can just open our eyes and see something a little bit different, a little bit clearer, maybe in a new way than we ever have before because we've changed a behavior. We've moved from one emotion to another. Perhaps we've created neutrality in a moment. Or maybe we've shifted our thought patterns in our mind and that's influenced us. I sincerely trust you find your way to flourish through whatever adversity, challenge, change or crisis you're going through right now. And if it is a lot for you, perhaps even too much or just too confusing, or maybe you're stuck in the mud, you're welcome to reach out to me at elise@stellamuse.com to explore how I can serve you one-on-one in personalized sacred guidance sessions, blending the psychological with the spiritual, helping you find your way on your unique path. If today's episode has spoken to you and you're yet to subscribe, please do. And don't forget, if you've got a few seconds, maybe even a whole minute for me, you could rate and review this. It would mean a great deal to me. You're also welcome to share thoughts and feedback, or if you have a topic that really, really interests you that you'd love me to deep dive and explore on the show, then let me know that too. Until next time, please do take wonderful care of you, and I look forward to reconnecting right here on Sacred Guidance with Stella Muse real soon. Mwah.